Today we're looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, and the subject today is singing praises to God. Ephesians 5, verse 19, and we're also going to read with this Colossians 3, verse 16. These are two very important and very similar verses on this subject in the New Testament. So let's begin in Ephesians 5, verse 19. Paul just said in verse 18 to be filled with the Spirit. And now in verse 19, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, again, this is a very similar verse. Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing praises to God in worship is a spiritual activity. When we sing, we are to sing with the Spirit. That is, we are to sing with our heart and in our spirit. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we find the same thing said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And there, interestingly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, where Paul says, I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding, it is clear that Paul is talking about singing in the church worship assembly. That's what the whole context is about. Now, that's not to say that we cannot sing psalms and praises to God outside of the worship assembly, because the Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 14, is any among you merry? Let him sing psalms. So James says, if you're happy and joyful, sing praises to God, whether that's in the church assembly or outside of it. But at the same time, the Bible does show that singing is to be a part of the worship assembly to God, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15 makes that very, very clear. Now let's notice these words in Ephesians 5, verse 19. Let's look very carefully at them. Paul says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What do these three descriptions mean? What is the meaning of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and what is the difference between these words? Well, let's start with the word psalm. The word psalm in the Bible means a song of praise. It means a psalm or a pious song. This word can include some of the psalms or songs of praise in the Old Testament book of Psalms. It is biblical to sing especially some of those psalms that we find back in the Old Testament. We find, for instance, Psalm 148 is a psalm of praise to God that is in a lot of songbooks to this very day. But at the same time, there are things in the book of Psalms that are connected with and are limited to the Old Testament, that is, the Law of Moses. So it wouldn't be fitting, it wouldn't be right to take any of those psalms and try to make those a part of worship today, because those psalms also talk about going to war against your enemies as a religious people. They talk about using incense in worship. They talk about using instrumental music in worship. They talk about offering sacrifices and burnt offerings to God. Those were things that were part of Old Testament worship. They're not authorized by the New Testament. But the general idea to keep in mind is that the word psalm in Ephesians 5, verse 19, refers to a song of praise. Whether you take that directly from one of those other psalms that we've talked about, or whether you invent the words and create those words in a song of praise to God. The second word is the word hymns. A hymn is a sacred song. It is a hymn. It is a song of praise. These hymns involve the idea of sacredness. The idea of a hymn is that this is a religious song. It is not a secular song. A hymn is a song about religion, and not just any religion, but the religion of the New Testament. So the word hymn is somewhat different from the word psalm. The word psalm emphasizes the idea of singing praises to God. But the word hymn, although it can include singing praises to God, can also stress singing praises about God and about spiritual things. So it's somewhat broader than the word psalm. And then we have the expression spiritual songs. Now, the song here is simply a song or an ode. It's an even more general expression, but the key here is spiritual song. Now, this again indicates that the contents of our songs that we use in worship to God and the nature of our singing and the manner in which we sing is to be spiritual and not earthly in nature. You see, God didn't simply say, "Sing when you worship me." He said, "Here's what I want you to sing. I want you to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." And even though there's some overlapping in those terms, the idea is that we're to be reverent. These are sacred songs. These are spiritual songs. These are not lighthearted and flippant songs like Yankee Doodle or Rocky Top or something like that. Those kinds of songs are not fitting for worship to God. We are to worship God in spirit and in truth, and with the mindset that Psalm 89 verse 7 says, "God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him." Now, there's something else that we need to notice about Ephesians 5:19 and also Colossians 3, verse 16. And that is, when we sing, everyone is to sing. We are not to have some kind of performance. The Bible nowhere talks about a choir or somebody giving a solo or a duet as a performance in church so that they're the ones singing and everybody else just listens. The Bible says that we're all to sing. We're all to participate as best we can. That doesn't mean that you have to sing as good as somebody else does, but it does mean that we're all to do our best and to give our hearts in worship to God as we sing. Now, as we do that, there's a very important purpose that is served, and that is this. When we sing, we're not just making sounds. We are saying something. We are teaching each other. Notice in Ephesians 5, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And even more clear than that is Colossians 3, verse 16. Notice what Paul says. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." So what do we do when we sing in worship to God? We are speaking to one another. We are saying certain words in those songs that have meaning. And if we pay attention to what we're singing, and if we listen as we're singing, we will be edified by those words. Those words remind us of truth that is taught in the Bible. We teach great truths about God and about Christ, about heaven, about the Bible, to children, to visitors, as well as to members. So our singing of praises to God in worship is to be instructive. When we sing, we teach. And as a matter of fact, notice again what Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 16. He said, "As you sing these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you are teaching one another, and you're also admonishing one another." Now, to teach is to remind and to impart information, but to admonish means that you're urging each other. You're exhorting each other. You're comforting each other. And so there is an edification that occurs when we sing praises to God. When we sing, we exhort each other. And so sometimes we refer to the song of encouragement at the end or the song of invitation. But actually, all of our songs are songs of encouragement because we're urging each other. We're exhorting and admonishing each other to do what the song talks about. And there's another benefit to singing songs in worship, and that is those songs not only urge us and exhort us to do what we need to do, but they also comfort us. They give peace to our souls. They're very therapeutic in that way. How many times have Christian people gone into a church worship assembly with a heavy burden, with a broken heart, and when those songs are sung, there's great comfort in the soul of that individual? and especially when we all sing. Instead of just listening to somebody else perform, we're all to sing. This is the New Testament way. You see, New Testament worship is very simple. It's not about a stage show. It's not about going to watch somebody perform. New Testament worship is very simple in that we're all to participate. That doesn't mean that you have to be able to have the talent to sing that somebody else does. It doesn't mean that if your voice is not as beautiful as someone else's, that you're not praising God. That's not the point. The point is to sing and make melody in your hearts to the Lord. And I want you to notice how God gets specific about what He wants us to do in this part of worship. God talks in Ephesians 5:19 about making melody. Yes, He talks about making melody. But where is that melody? He says to sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. And also in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul said something very similar there when he said to sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So it's not just our voice that is involved in the singing. It is primarily what comes from our hearts. So God said that the melody is to be made with your voice. But it's not simply some kind of sound that you make with your vocal cords. He said, I want you to sing. I want you to use words, special words, words that teach and admonish one another. Words in those songs that are described as psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now let's consider a parallel here. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, He chose very specific elements. He didn't say to eat any kind of food for the Lord's Supper. He said the Lord's Supper is to be the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. That means we're not to substitute. That means we're not to try to replace. That means we're not to try to add to that food and say that we can bring some other kind of food in that will do just as well. The Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, tried to turn the Lord's Supper into a common meal, and Paul rebuked them for that. So when we look at the Lord's Supper, if we are faithful to Bible teaching, if we do what God told us to do, nothing more and nothing less, we will observe the Lord's Supper by partaking of the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread. Now, in the same way, if we obey God in what He says in Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, and other New Testament passages, that means that we will sing as a group, as an assembly. That means everybody sings. That means also that we sing certain kinds of songs, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That also means that we will make melody in our hearts to the Lord. So the sounds are to come from our voices, and the melody is to be in our heart. So God specified the kind of food that we're to have in the Lord's Supper, and He specified the kind of melody that we're to have in this part of worship. We are to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And just as it would be wrong to look at the Lord's Supper and say, I'm going to add another kind of food to the Lord's Supper, it would be wrong to say, I'm going to add a different kind of music to the melody that He talks about in Ephesians 5, verse 19. This is speaking where the Bible speaks and being silent where the Bible is silent. So let us speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And let us add that the Catholic Church for hundreds of years and most Protestant denominations, when they first began, agreed with this very point.